When I was in college, I used to attend an annual conference in downtown Pittsburgh. One year, the keynote speaker ran an inner-city ministry in Pittsburgh, and he was trying to communicate to us, 2,000 white-collared college kids, the motivation behind his ministry. So he began to sing, "He's Got the Whole World in His Hands." And we all laughed, because the speaker was making an absolute fool of himself. But as he kept singing, he began to change the lyrics. And rather than "the whole world in his hands," he began to sing, "He's got the pimps and the prostitutes in his hands." And then, "He's got the drug dealers and gangbangers in his hands." Go out of their room. Because just like that, 2,000 college kids had their little church bubbles burst. I mean, for 18 years, most of us had been taught that God cared about wearing the right church clothes, singing the right church songs, and saying the right church answers. Never could we conceive that God loved the unlovable, at least not in the way the speaker was suggesting. Our God is a great God, and He loves us in ways we'll never be able to imagine. He is great and mighty and just. Our God is a righteous God. But our God is also compassionate and merciful and gracious. He loves us, but not so we can keep that love for ourselves. He loves us and empowers us to love the world around us, the world in which we live, to love the churchgoers as well as those who curse God, to love the pure of heart as well as those who are anything but. It isn't a love reserved for any one group or any one kind of person. God loves the CEO just as much as He loves the unemployed. God loves the teacher and the doctor and the lawyer just as much as He loves the addict and the gambler. God gave His Son to the world that we might believe in Him and live according to His word and be covered in His blood. To what end? That we might go out into the world to love and to serve, to share His name and His glory with our neighbor. Who is our neighbor? Open your eyes and look around.
Well, I didn't realize I would be showing a video of Pittsburgh on the day that the Packers were playing the Steelers. I don't know what God's trying to tell us. But I love that video because it has a great message that God loves all of us, even those we think aren't unlovable. And He talked about that speaker who mentioned that song we learn as kids, "He's got the whole world in His hands." And it's a song we learn as kids, and I think it gets harder for us to believe as we grow up. But it can be a great comfort to us. Sometimes when we struggle with people, we think, how could God possibly love that person? But just because it's hard for us to love somebody doesn't mean that it's hard for God to love somebody, because God loves all. We all have people that we struggle with. But God calls us to love our neighbors as ourselves. And it's a challenge, but it's a worthy challenge. This week I was out to lunch and a man came in to meet a woman at the table next to me. She was probably in her 50s or 60s and she was dressed, you know, nicely in khakis and a sweater. And she had short hair, probably looked a lot like many of the ladies out in our congregation today. The man arrived and rushed over to her table. And he reeked, I mean reeked, of cigarette smoke and dirt and just not good. He had a stocking cap on and his face was stubbly. He was not quite as well kept as the woman. She stood up to greet him and opened her arms wide for a hug. He gave her a very long hug and kissed her cheek at the end. It struck me as strange because they seemed like such an odd pair. I'm not sure how they knew each other, but I could see that she really cared about him and that he was happy to be with her. It warmed my heart to see how she loved him. A reading from Luke 16. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. God loves all, even the smelly and unkempt. I was a camp counselor one summer during college. My mom sent me a letter at the beginning of the summer with some advice. She was a teacher for many years, and she had worked with deaf children and also as a special ed teacher's aide. And so she had a lot of good things to say on how to deal with kids. One thing she said struck me, and it has stuck with me until today. She said, "The most needy and annoying kids are the ones who really need the most love and attention." And it never failed. Every week I would have one kid in my cabin who would be more of a challenge for me, someone that was more of a struggle to love. And I'd remember my mom's words, that those kids needed extra love and attention. A reading from Ephesians chapter 1. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. God says, love all, even those who annoy you. And then there are those people who are even harder for us to love. People who've hurt us. People we feel are like our enemies. People who've attacked us, whether it's those who've attacked our country, those who've attacked us personally, attacked us at work, or even sometimes in our own families. These can often be the most challenging kind of people to love, because love doesn't naturally follow hurt and anger. Also, our families are people that we can't just write off. We're stuck with them. Even if we choose not to see them, they're still a part of us. That's why love and forgiveness are so important. And sometimes, the littlest measure of love and forgiveness is only possible with God's help. As I was writing the sermon, I realized I needed to take my own advice and to ask God for help in loving someone. As you know, Brian and I have two little kids who I totally love. They're not the problem. But what I don't love is all the judgment that can surround parenting these days. Everyone has an opinion, and sometimes if it's not their way, it's not the right way. Bennett has been having an issue for months, and I'm not going to tell you what it is because I don't want your advice. Because I learned we were at a loss of what to do. So I asked for advice on Facebook. Big mistake. Believe me, if I had not been desperate, I would not have done that. Take note, okay? Never ask for advice on Facebook. So I got a few useful ideas, which made me feel a little better. And a lot of funny ideas, which made me laugh and feel better. And then this woman that I know through a group I'm in started to chime in with some advice. And when I say advice, I mean criticism that I thought was really less than helpful and definitely not funny. It made me feel like throwing my computer through the window and unfriending her, which in Facebook world is like bad. So I tried to respond in as kind of a manner as I could, which was really a lot nicer than I wanted to be, but still probably had some room for improvement. Then I realized that even though I don't really care for what she said or how she said it, that God wants me to love her too. So I thought about her background and why she may have said the things she said, and I asked God for help in loving her, and it's something I still have to work on. A reading from Matthew 5. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? There's someone in our world who's been making a big splash because he's been loving all. And it's surprising people all over the world, people of faith, and even some who have struggled with faith and the church. Does anybody have a guess who I'm talking about?
Pope Francis.
He's made headlines over and over for modeling for people around the world how Jesus loved all. Washing the feet of prostitutes, embracing a severely disfigured man, and most recently that I heard, encouraging a young mother to feed her hungry child without shame. He's truly living the model Christ set for us to love all. I recently read an article about all the great press and admiration that Pope Francis has been getting, and it was titled, "If You Like Pope Francis, You'll Love Jesus." Christ is our model for living all. He showed us that in how he lived. He loved more than any person on earth had before or has since. He welcomed all. He fed the hungry. He forgave those who hurt him. And on the cross, he opened his arms to the world. He continues to bring his love to us through his word, through the bread and wine, and through the waters of baptism, where Reagan will be made his child today and will be washed in his love. Our reading from 1 John 4 said this, "Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. So we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in God abide in love, and God abides in them." I hope that you know how deeply God loves you. That's always in my prayers when I pray for you. I pray that you'll be able to love the unlovables in your lives with God's help. And I pray that you love yourself too, because God loves you. God thinks you're amazing. God wants the best for you. Loving God, loving your neighbor, loving yourself, loving all. That's what life is all about. And there's no better time of year to know this than now. Amen.